You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast. Encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
There are lies that people believe about the wonderful gift of speaking in tongues. So, I want to go through the scripture and dispel once and for all some of these myths.
Now, this is a two-part message, so make sure that you listen to both. So, I want to help lay a biblical foundation so that you can better understand the gift of speaking in tongues. Once you have this understanding of the expressions of the gift of speaking in tongues, then it's a lot easier for you to understand how to expose the lies that people believe about this powerful gift. So, I want to give you the three different expressions of the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, you won't find these terms in the scripture, but you will find the principles in the scripture, and it's because those principles exist that I have given them terms. So, number one, you have the personal tongue. Number two, you have the proof tongue. Number three, you have the prophetic tongue. Number one, the personal tongue. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So here we see in the scripture that there's a description about the gift of tongues that tells us that you can be edified personally when you use this gift. So that's one of the expressions, the personal expression. It edifies self. Number two, the proof tongue. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 say this, "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers." So this expression of the gift is heard as an earthly language, and it's what we saw in Acts chapter 2. So it acts as proof of the miraculous. So that's the personal tongue that edifies self. The proof tongue, that's proof of the miraculous to the non-believer. And then there is the prophetic tongue. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 28 say, "Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. But if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately." Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. So the way this would look in a church service is someone would share a gift of tongues, or they would start speaking in tongues, and then someone else would interpret that to deliver the prophetic message that God was giving to the church. Now, I want to embolden some of the distinctions between these three expressions to make it absolutely biblically clear that there are, in fact, three expressions to this gift. So I'm going to give you some scripture here. So, as I said, I want to embolden the lines of distinction here. So the personal tongue benefits the individual, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. The prophetic tongue benefits the church. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 14:26. The proof tongue benefits the unbeliever. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. The personal tongue requires no interpreter or interpretation to be beneficial to the individual. Again, 1 Corinthians 14, 4. It says right there that the individual who prays in tongues is strengthened personally. So that one is benefited without interpretation. The prophetic tongue, by contrast, requires an interpreter to benefit the church. That's 1 Corinthians 14, 26. The proof tongue requires no interpreter for the interpretation to be understood by the unbeliever. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 8. No one was interpreting, yet they heard the message that God wanted to deliver to them supernaturally. The personal tongue is understood by no one but God. That's 1 Corinthians 14:2. The prophetic tongue is understood by the church with the aid of an interpreter. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27. The proof tongue is supernaturally understood by the unbeliever. Again, that's Acts chapter 2, verse 8. So, the Bible makes it perfectly clear that there are three expressions of that gift, and I just showed you the biblical distinctions between those three expressions. With that in mind, let's begin to address these lies or these myths that people believe about speaking in tongues. Lie number one, Paul discouraged believers from praying in tongues. This is simply not true. Look at what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. This is the portion of scripture that people use to try to make it sound as if Paul discouraged people from praying in tongues. This is an often misunderstood, misapplied text. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. So right off the bat, you can see he says that we should desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, and then he emphasizes or specifies the gift of prophecy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, so you are in fact using a spiritual gift, because indeed you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit. So it's not nonsensical, it's not useless. You are speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. But the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So Paul the Apostle here is not saying that speaking in tongues is useless. He's saying that prophesying is more useful. Speaking in tongues edifies the individual who speaks in tongues, but the gift of prophecy edifies those who hear that prophetic message. So Paul the Apostle compared the gifts with each other. He did not condemn either one. It's comparison, not condemnation. Paul was not against the gift of tongues, but he definitely favored the gift of prophecy. He was comparing, not condemning. He was not saying the gift of tongues has no purpose. He was saying that prophecy has a greater purpose. In fact, he encouraged people to pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5 says this, "I wish you could all speak in tongues. But even more, I wish you could all prophesy, for prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened." So you can see here again that comparison, but within that comparison, we see Paul the Apostle saying, "I wish you could all pray in tongues." Again, the main issue being that speaking in tongues sometimes only edifies the individual, and prophecy always edifies everyone listening. Again, he encourages the use of the gift of speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, where the scripture says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues." So that myth, that lie that Paul discouraged believers from praying in tongues, as we can see, biblically speaking, is simply not true. Myth or lie number two, praying in tongues should not be practiced in public or in group settings. Now imagine you go into a church service, you're visiting, and nothing is happening in that service except for somebody praying in tongues. Nobody is receiving, nobody is interpreting, nobody is prophesying. How would you be edified by attending that meeting? Now imagine that you go to a service, the worship is wonderful, the word that's being preached is accurate, and it's bold, and it's anointed, and it's ministering to you, helping you grow, helping you to be edified. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of that church service, somebody stands up and begins to pray in tongues with no interpreter. Now, not only would that disruption be disorderly, but what that individual would be doing would be not as helpful or less helpful than the message that's being preached. So, this is what Paul the Apostle was trying to prevent. Context is key when you're looking at the scripture. You can't just go applying whatever you want to these verses. You have to look at the context. So, Paul the Apostle here is trying to prevent this chaos. He's trying to prevent people from disrupting the services. He's trying to prevent people from only praying in tongues throughout the whole service. So he puts some ground rules on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 6 and 19 say this: "Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? But if I bring you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. But in a church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown language." He brought order. Look at verse 26. "Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given, one will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you." That is the main concern. Now, this, however, does not mean that the believer could not pray in tongues collectively. Remember, he's trying to do away with disorder, and he's trying to make sure that all of the believers present are being edified. Now, if I were to get up and say, everybody pray in the Holy Spirit, everybody pray in tongues, number one, it's orderly because it's the direction of the service and everyone is doing it. And number two, everyone is being edified because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 and 4, the individual who prays in tongues is edifying themselves. So if everyone is collectively praying in tongues as a portion of the service, that is not only orderly, but it's also edifying to all who are present. So this is how we manage it in our services. I don't allow someone to just stand up, interrupt the preaching, and start speaking in tongues with no interpreter. I don't just stand there praying in tongues for 60 minutes and then say, okay, everyone can go home. That wouldn't edify anyone. But in our services, we do allow moments for people to exercise that gift. And because it's the direction of the service, again, I emphasize it's orderly, and because everyone is participating, everyone is being edified. Now, there are actually biblical examples of people praying in tongues collectively. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." It also happened in Acts chapter 19, where the scripture says this in verse 6, "Then when Paul laid his hands on them," that's a group, "the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied." Nobody stood up and scolded the group of believers. The Holy Spirit didn't pull back and demand that they wait until a later moment to pray in tongues. Why would the Holy Spirit pour out the gift in a public setting if it was meant to only be used in private? We can do away with that myth, that lie, and move on to the third now. The third lie or myth is this: tongues is only an earthly language, not a heavenly one. Now, this is a very popular view that's widespread, but not at all biblically backed. There are those who claim that the gift of speaking in tongues in the scripture is limited to an earthly language. Now, I did show you one of the expressions of the gift of speaking in tongues is absolutely the ability to be heard speaking in a language that you yourself do not know by supernatural means. So we accept this expression of the gift of tongues. But as we saw through the scripture, there are a couple of other expressions of this gift as well. So this is a popular view that's not at all supported by scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, 2, look at what the scripture says. "So if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God." Why? "Since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. No one can understand you." Why? "Because you're only talking to God." Are you speaking in an earthly language? No, it says clearly you're speaking in mysteries, but it's still beneficial. Look at verse number 4. "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. The one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church." Now again, we already showed that Paul the Apostle was not condemning the gift of tongues. He was comparing it with the gift of prophecy and saying that prophecy was better because it helped others, not just the individual exercising that gift. Now, the person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. It's not useless. It's not pointless. It's not silly. And it's not an earthly language in this portion of Scripture. Guys, this is what the Scripture says. You can't argue with the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 says, "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. My spirit is praying. What about Acts chapter 2? Some would say, well, in Acts chapter 2, they all heard them speaking in languages. Let's take a closer look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Why? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, watch this. Each individual in the crowd heard the collective of believers speaking in his own language. Now, that crowd could not have been speaking in multiple different languages at one time collectively. So this shows us that when this miracle manifested, it was likely that the miracle manifested on the listener's end. To say that the gift of tongues is only spoken as an earthly language is an assumption, a very big assumption. We don't know, even looking at Acts chapter 2, whether the people were actually speaking the language or whether those who were listening to them pray in tongues and what some would call gibberish. We don't know if the listener heard it in their language miraculously. In fact, that's what I think happened, because some of the people who were present didn't hear languages. In fact, they thought the believers were drunk. Acts chapter 2, verse 13 says, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. So some heard their own languages, others thought the believers were drunk. So this myth or this lie that tongues is only an earthly language, not a heavenly one, can also be dismissed. Myth number four, and this is the final one that I'm going to be addressing in this portion. This is part one, so make sure that you go over part two when it's out. But myth number four, the gift of tongues is not for every believer. This is one of the biggest lies that really has sadly become widespread. And people believe this because they hear clever sounding talk that seems like it's based on scripture, but is actually not very well founded at all. They look at what the critics have to say rather than what the scripture has to say. Now, the gift of tongues can't be taught. And I don't teach that the gift of tongues can be taught. When I say how to pray in tongues or how to heal the sick or how to pray, I'm teaching you how to use what God has already given to you, not how to receive something that He hasn't given to you. This is a very subtle distinction. I don't believe that you can make yourself receive a gift. It is a gift from God. But once that gift has been given, you have to be taught how to exercise it. Think, for example, about a child. When a baby is born, the baby is born, if it's healthy, seeing and hearing. But the baby is not born observing and listening. Those senses come at birth. In the same way, the spiritual gifts come when the Holy Spirit deposits those gifts. But you have to obey the Word of God. You have to exercise what God has given to you in order to walk in it. So when I say how to pray in tongues, how to heal the sick, and so forth, I'm not saying these are things that you can just give to yourself. I'm teaching you how to use the gift that the Holy Spirit has chosen to give you. And in fact, the scripture teaches that every believer can have the gift of speaking in tongues. So the idea that not every believer can pray in tongues comes primarily from misunderstanding this portion of scripture. I'm going to read this portion of scripture to you, and then I'm going to show you how people have misunderstood this, misapplied this, and we're going to get breakthrough in this area. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages or tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Now, if you're not looking at this portion of Scripture carefully and you're not studying it properly, it can seem as though Paul the Apostle is saying that all expressions of the gift of tongues are not available to all believers. But what he is in fact describing here are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the individual to be used unto the edification of others. So you'll see word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues and tongues interpretation. All of these spiritual gifts are others-centered. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Why? So we can help each other. Each one of the spiritual gifts is intended to help the body of Christ. In other words, the one who uses the gift isn't the one who benefits from the gift. We are given spiritual gifts to benefit others, not self. So the gift of faith couldn't be having faith. It would have to be the ability to stir faith in others. The gift of healing isn't being healed. It's the grace to heal others. The same would apply to every gift about which Paul the Apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 12. All of the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are others-focused, never self-focused. So this expression of the gift of tongues is not the self-edifying expression of the gift of tongues. Paul the Apostle here is describing the gift of tongues and tongues interpretation, the one that's to be used in a public setting. So it would apply all across the board if, in fact, Paul the Apostle was saying we can't do any of these things. Think about the fact that the Scripture tells us all to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Yet the Bible says here, are we all teachers? What does that mean, that only some of us should be ready to teach the Word of God? By no means. Here the Scripture is obviously describing the teacher, as in Ephesians 4:11, the fivefold ministry gift of the teacher. He's not describing the gift of being able to teach the Word of God or the ability to be able to teach the Word of God. The same would apply to all of these other gifts described, the gift of miracles. So only some believers will experience miracles in their lives? No, all believers will experience miracles in their lives. This is clearly laid out in the Scripture. Do we all have the gift of healing, the gift of healing as a ministry? Not all of us have the gift of healing as a ministry for the public use to the edification of the church, but can all of us believe for miracles when someone is sick? Of course we can. And so this context is describing the public expression of the gift, more specifically the prophetic expression, which is paired with the gift of interpretation, the public gift of tongues and the gift of tongues interpretation. So look at what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Why would Paul the Apostle wish for something that was contrary to the will of God? And why would the Holy Spirit allow for that desire to be recorded in the Holy Scripture if it were indeed contrary to God's will? Not all have the gift of tongues and tongues interpretation, but every believer can pray in a personal tongue to God. The Bible doesn't say that some were filled. The Bible says that all were filled. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, what did Peter preach about the gift of tongues? You know that Peter actually very clearly taught that the gift of tongues was for every believer who would ever believe on the Lord Jesus. Look at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Now, what promise? What exactly was he describing? Look here in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, just a few verses before. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. What exactly were they hearing? They were hearing the gift of tongues manifested. This was a sign that they had received the Holy Spirit. That gift of tongues was heard by the people who were there, by the onlookers, by the crowd. And Peter gets up and says, this promise, what you're hearing, is for all who believe. So it was what they were seeing and what they were hearing. And this promise was to you and to your children, to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. So all who have been called can have what they heard, which was the gift of speaking in tongues. The gift of speaking in tongues, biblically speaking, no arguing, no debating, we see it here plainly. The gift of speaking in tongues is for every single believer.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember,
nothing is impossible with God.